Welcome back to Hour 2 of Sound Space. We are in the spot with American songwriter, vocalist, performance artist, arts educator, and multi-instrumentalist Saria Eden, whose soul and jazz-influenced expressions have come to fruition in her first full-length album, Breaking Shadows. She began singing ensemble world folk music as a child, danced professionally, and studied poetry and jazz music. This album, with 17 tracks on it, shows that progression in a wonderful compilation of a major journey of expression of vulnerability and community. Recorded in Los Angeles, Berlin, and Lisbon, with an array of 27 musicians, the songs on Breaking Shadows are confessional, confrontational, brave, socially responsible, and spiritual to the core. They present a woman's reflections on love, power, patriarchy, and purpose. Hide behind your ignorance, you will try. The playing field you still define.
One, two, three, four, five.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Sound Space. We are in the spot with Saria Eden, and she has a wonderful album that just came out. It's called Breaking Shadows. Oh, I love shadows and what shadows mean and what they are about. And just you having that in the title of your album really intrigued me from the get-go. But also the fact that it has 17 tracks on it. Really glad to turn listeners on to your music in this region.
Thank you so much for taking the time to investigate the 17 tracks and for having me on the show.
When I look at an album like this, it's a movement. To me, it's a movement from beginning to end. You studied creative movement when you were young and took classes and then ended up being in a youth dance company. And you toured the U.S. and Europe with this experience. And you have some really wonderful things to say about how your music comes from a really powerfully kinetic place, that it's it's a part of all of you. Could you speak to that a little bit to lay some foundation for the album as we hear some of this?
You've done your research on me. I appreciate that. And that's a big question. I started creating melodies and songs when I was already dancing professionally. My mom's a musician and started giving me lessons when I was really young. So the relationship between music and movement has always been, it's always been a thing for me. You know, the dance company that I toured with was also a music ensemble. I did some singing with them as well. But for me, dancing world folk traditions growing up, it was a modern and world folk dance company and called the Vannevar Caravan, based in New York, and they're still active. And Livia and Bill are like second parents to me, dancing these different folk traditions. And we also dance like hip hop as an American folk tradition, you know. So I was given a context of culture from a very young age with a kind of different perspective, I think, than a lot of people, of looking at different old traditions and also new traditions from the perspective of just folk culture of a place and other people. And also, you know, the various contexts that those cultures are created out of, the different liberation movements that they're created out of, and also just storytelling, right, from different traditions. But I always felt like the dances that we were embodying were not my cultural context as just a person, but then as a music artist, I've worked to understand what genres I'm influenced by and then what cultures come with this body of mine, right? My family's predominantly Eastern European Jewish, and I grew up in New York with a lot of cultural mixing.
Yes.
Right. So what I'm influenced by and what's kind of in my DNA, having an understanding of them, honoring them, but then also composing from a place of feeling, right? Like I feel a rhythm, I feel a melody, and then articulate that. So while I have a jazz background and I have, you know, not a crazy understanding of music theory, it's a huge Pandora's box, right?
Yes.
But I have some understanding of music theory from both a Western and then from different cultural backgrounds that are non-Western. I don't go from a theory place when I'm writing music. And it's really more as an arranger, I would say, that I have, you know, a kinesthetic feeling and then write a line that becomes a horn line, or write a line that will become a key or a guitar riff. The rhythm section, the root, is more obvious, I would say.
Every answer you're going to give me is going to be a little piece of you that just puts together this wonderful composition of who you are. Because you're very complex. You have a wonderful, rich background.
Yeah.
And it, like you said, you have covered some of those great bases that I did want to ask anyway, what your cultural background was, where some of that energy comes from. It's almost like an archaeological dig going through your body. You know, I can see why poetry also is probably a core of where so much of your inspiration comes from, because it's so old, it tells stories, it is, and it's a vibration. I find that poetry is the most vibrational form of writing. I'm a poet myself, and I can really relate to not only your lyrics and how you utilize them and arrange them in your songs on Breaking Shadows, but also then how you hit into that for your ability as an arts educator. Your experience teaching workshops, like vocal and performance workshops to young people. I guess you do it for all ages, anybody who would want to do them. What do you see as the greatest kind of window to where our spirit is right now in teaching? Do you have an example of somebody or something that happened maybe when you were teaching or whatnot that tells people what's really going on out there?
I think of myself more as a facilitator, because in a way I'm more interested in what's happening inside a person. And then, you know, the way that I structure my workshops, whether they're short workshops or longer workshops, is that, you know, there's always a moment for us to check in with each other, you know, whether it's in short phrases of, you know, something that's positive in a person's experience that day and something that's challenging in a person's experience that day, whether it's those words or just the vibration of sharing with each other in a space, we have a better sense of who's in the room with us in that time. Writing together is such a form of conversation building. You know, I find writing by myself is a form of conversation with myself, and therefore with a larger human experience, because I'm just one human having an experience.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
And so writing, whether it's poetry or lyrics, is a way for me to better understand the human experience, human existence in this moment in time. So there's an element of sharing writing that we write together, whether it's, you know, free writing that I have participants share in that moment together, or if it's a crafted piece that someone's workshopping, right? Something they wrote before and they bring in for feedback. The conversations about the writing help us to have a deeper understanding of what's happening inside of each of us. When I hear you ask the question, what's happening out there, you know, it makes me think about the incredible social and political, and I would say energetic, which some people would say spiritual, turmoil and tumultuousness that's happening right now, not just in this country, but all over the planet. I was recently performing at a festival in Maryland called Sister Space, And I facilitated a writing workshop for a number of the women that were there. And, you know, one woman in particular just had a real breakthrough in a very personal way. You know, the writing that we were doing was not about politics or social issues. It was just because the prompts that came up took people into a personal place of their writing, which is often the case, I find. She had really just been struggling with what she felt was a writer's block. She's a poet and she's a performance poet. So she's used to the process of writing, but she had personal stuff going on that was really keeping her from feeling like she was making any headway with her creative voice. You know, through the process of writing together and sharing together and having that witness, she was able to be really vulnerable and have a huge breakthrough. And I'm very humbled that she felt safe in that space.
Yeah.
You know, she trusted me to open that space for her to open herself.
You know what it does? It solidifies this understanding of you being the facilitator. Congratulations is what I want to say. A very successful facilitator is actually able to take the step back and allow the spaces to be filled by those they're facilitating, you know? And you allow the people that you work with in groups or collaborations even to express themselves in that place where magic happens, where breakthroughs occur. What is your gift that you get from collaboration? Because you worked with 27 musicians, maybe more, probably more, on this new album. What is it like to have all of that expression flying around? And is it hard to hone it in, or is it exciting?
Well, I would say it's all of the above.
Yeah.
Well, with this album, you know, the reason why there's 27 musicians is because I recorded in three different countries, right? I recorded in Los Angeles, in Berlin, Germany, and in Lisbon, Portugal. And so, you know, one of the reasons I recorded in those different places was because of the musicians that I wanted to work with who were there. I approach collaborating on this material with some caution. You know, the material on Breaking Shadows is very personal and very confessional, and some of it is political.
Yes.
So collaborating with these different musicians, I kind of gave the blueprint and then, you know, invited them in to add their own character on those songs and bring their skills that I don't have. One of the reasons I went to Berlin in particular, because there is a strong klezmer scene there. There's also a strong live instrument, soul, hip hop, jazz scene, which is I'm most trained and rooted in the Black American music canon. Mm-hmm. Coming forward with clarity of vision and then leaving room for the skills and feelings of the collaborators. Something I learned actually in a writing workshop many years ago when I was really young, I had the pleasure of taking a short writing workshop with the poet Sekou Sundiata in New York.
Ah, yes. Wonderful.
And something that he said that has really stuck with me is you always have to leave room for the ghost, right? Ah. And so that's something I've thought about. And the ghost, you know, I don't think of it as something spooky where, you know, post-Halloween, but, you know, just leaving room for the unknown spirit that you're not sure what it is, but it will show up if you have a clarity of intention and then leave space. And that's kind of my approach to collaborating with folks.
What I'd like to do is hit into some music here, at least a first sample. I will do a couple here. I think the song That Woman has ghosts in it. It's honest and it's naked. It's revelatory. I would love people to hear that song because of what you just said. Could we do that?
We can do that. Let's do it.
Okay. We're going to hear That Woman by Saria Eden from her new album, Breaking Shadows. Here we go.
When the sun goes down, we often stumble when our words hit the ground. So we find footing on limbs and lips and fountains, but we really shouldn't bushwhack when you're gonna go home to Red Mountain. So treat that woman right. We both know I could ride you tonight. does it tight. You better treat that woman right. We both know I could ride you tonight. Treat that woman right. You know she does it tight. Yeah. We both know we could take flight on the wings of skin and soul and polyrhythmic insight. We've been down that path. No, we got them at each other's stride, but we turn sacred into sacrilege when we desecrate a lady's love life. So treat that woman right. We both know I could ride you tonight. Treat that woman right. You know she does you tight. You better treat that woman right. We both know I could ride you tonight. Treat that woman right. You know she does you tight. Keep treating me like priestess, but you don't treat your queen like one. So while you bless me with words of sweetness, are you just thinking to get your fun? I'm sorry my behavior caused you to feel kind of feel. Yes, I am a sensual creature, but that's got nothing to do with you. So treat that woman right. We both know I could ride you tonight. Treat that woman right. You know she does it tight. You better treat that woman right. We both know I could ride you tonight. Treat that woman right.
That's a beautiful, beautiful song. I love it. That woman, Saria. One of the things that I saw in your bio that really caught my eye was when you said you had a musical mentor named Melanie Damore. She said that our ancestors are always singing through us, whether we recognize it or not. You may have touched a little bit on that. I just wanted to know if you could add a little bit to that sentiment or feeling. feeling. It's really not a sentiment. It's more of a deep feeling that is otherworldly as well as, you know, another plane of existence that we experience any time in a given day.
I think for me, what I took from what Melanie said is that it's just an energetic thing. You know, our ancestors walk with us. And when we open ourselves up to vibration and to putting vibration out, they have an opportunity to speak. We see that even with our actions, you know, certain habits that we have that come from a parent or a grandparent, or it might come from an old cultural tradition. And there's small little things that we do in life, or small little ways that our voices inflect, or the energy through the voice, or the energy through the instrument, right?
Yes.
I think that's also true
yes.
for musicians. It's not just for vocalists. And so I try to be conscious both of, you know, personal patterns in my life that connect to things that I've learned from either family or from creative family, but then also ancestral family.
Mm-hmm. These areas that you've lived in and have performed and experienced in are so rich. You know, even out there when you say Portugal and Berlin, and it's a rich bed of garden, a forest. It has all kinds of incredible inspirations that abound in those places. I loved what you had to say about leadership and what you've gained over the years of learning how to keep track of your own actions, your own vision, your time, your needs, and that it's a dance itself. And I wanted to know if you could just speak a little bit about what did you learn at a leadership level doing this album, Breaking Shadows? What did you walk away with as your biggest piece?
Oh, that's a great question. And I'm not sure that I've fully digested the experience yet. The whole process has taught me so much about leadership, because it wasn't just artistic leadership that I was working on, but also, you know, to be honest, also financial. I did a crowdfunding campaign in order to fund the completion of the album, you know, opening up to my community to ask for support, but not just financial support, but also support from other artists in my community who contributed by, you know, making things, making products that were part of the perks in the campaign. So, you know, there's so many layers of leadership that I've been holding, and also working internationally. So working through language barriers and cultural differences, the way people communicate both personally and also professionally in the U.S. versus in Germany or in Portugal.
Oh, sure.
All
thing.
Of those places are different. And, you know, punctuality is kind of a mixed bag in the U.S. You know, so all of these little things were like factors that I had to take into consideration while working with people and wanting to be very clear, but also be very respectful. The main thing about leadership that I have taken away is about clear communication and taking time to be prepared.
And I find those two things to be absolutely important to making a connection and engaging. Saria, you know, I can really relate.
Especially when making art, right?
Yes.
Because as a band leader and a producer and music director, I want the whole person to show up in the room, you know, right?
Yes.
You know, like when I was recording at Funkhaus in Berlin, the song Temple, it's a very funky song and it's a very sexy song, but it's also a Me Too movement song. Mm. It's easy for musicians to not fully digest lyrics sometimes because they're focusing on the groove.
Right.
You know, it's what they're there for. But as soon as I really brought the musicians into what the song was about, the whole vibe of the room changed. You know, it was all men who recorded on that song. And this is very much a woman's story. But in that moment, you know, I wanted their full person and their full vibration to show up, but I also wanted them to be clear about the intention and the vibration of the song. And it was a really beautiful recording session mm-hmm. because of the way everyone was really listening to each other and holding the intention of a healing space, you know, and in terms of leadership, inviting a whole, someone's whole spirit and expertise to come into the room, but with a clear intention.
Yeah.
So I guess I would add clear intention to leadership.
Mm-hmm. Each of these songs, I had such a hard time picking songs off this album. Now, I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I had a whole hour. The other song that I did choose was Let Me. I love it. I think it's beautiful and I'd love people to hear it.
The credits and lyrics for the album are on my website if people want to see.
So go ahead and say your website. So and you're on all the you're on many platforms. But please
go
ahead.
Yeah, I'm on all the social platforms. Okay. But my website is just my name, sariyaidan.com, sariyaidan.com. And then on the first page of the website, there's a picture of the album cover. And then there's a button that says, I think it says Breaking Shadows album credits and lyrics.
Let's hear Let Me. And it's off your new album, Breaking Shadows, Saria Eden. Here we go.
That other woman, she ain't no good to you. The way she treats your body ain't like I do. She toxifies your blood so that your beauty mind can't think. The way I treat you praises us all you be, so let me love you. You know that I do. Let me love you. Do you think that I can with my light hue? Let me love you. You know. Than the you found. You're not predator or HSBC. You star, you got ideas of your own. I just wanna stand by you, celebrate what you grow. So let me love you. Trust me, boo, what must I do to get through to you? The walls you built between us. You push me away, but I know you don't mean it. I know you got your demons, dude. I got a few too, but one day we could surely rest in arms of mutual respect. But she's got a hold on you. She's a beautiful bitch, and I don't blame you. But she's killing you softly with her coming hands. I'm jealous, but now why I make these demands? Someone's gotta get through to you. You're dulling your brilliance, deceptions, Hugh. If not for me, then for your seeds. Let her go, please. Let me love you. You know that I do. Let me love you.
Well, Saria, thank you so much for taking the time tonight to share your insights, the power of your experience doing this album. Thank you for taking the time to put it out and the bravery of it. I will continue to play tracks off of it. I so appreciate the type of woman that you are as an artist and as a human being. Thank you so much for standing up for those who are most vulnerable and do have a hard time expressing how they're feeling and what the experience is that sometimes can be traumatic and questionable and doubtful, how it comes out the other end as something that just really strengthens us and gives us more power.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Zan. I really appreciate how you listen with your whole mind and your whole heart, not just to my music, but to the music of the other artists whose work you play and promote and interview on your show. It's a great service that you do for many artists.
So thank you for
having me.
Thanks so much and have a great night. And that ends our spot for tonight.